Guided by his example, we walk the righteous path. In the footsteps of the prophet with faith and steadfast. In the footsteps of the prophet with faith and steadfast.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyid al-Anbiya wal Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. My dear viewers of the channel, welcome back to another episode of our series In the Footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. In this series, mashallah wa azzudal, we learn about the greatest of all mankind sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, about his blessed life, his seerah, his biography, some of the events which took place, which transpired during the blessed life of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. But before we do get to that, remember there are many blessings and virtues in sending salawat upon the greatest of all mankind, the peace of our hearts and our minds, the most generous and kind, the last and final Prophet and Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam has stated, Man salla alayya salatan wahidatan sallallahu alihi ashra, that he who recites salat upon the noble Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam once, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall bestow 10 blessings upon that person. My dear viewers, we should make it a regular habit, a regular practice of ours to recite salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam in abundance, inshallah azza wa jal. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. MashaAllah azza wa jal, in the previous episode of In the Footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam, we learn about various things, and one was subhanallah, one of the most beautiful blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon the ummah, and this is the adhan. Yes, the adhan itself, sometimes for those of you that are blessed to be able to wake up to hearing and listening to the adhan, the real, in real life, not just recording or having it on their phone, mashallah, but even to have it on your phone, or whether it's real life, and it just, when it awakens you, the beautiful, just listening to the adhan and is awakening you in the morning, you think, wow, and it gives you that spiritual uplift, doesn't it? And then you look forward to praying salah, and even in congregation, subhanallah, what a great blessing. That's what we heard about previously. The adhan. How the adhan was given to the Muslims. How the adhan, different to previous ways or previous methods adopted by other religions. Yes, in order to call people to prayer. But this is the calling of the prayer for Muslims. It's not by ringing a bell or blowing into some sort of instrument, but rather it's the God-gifted, the God-given voice of one own person for him to call out the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to perform the tasbih, the takbir of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to state that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest. And who was given this duty? Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And the scholars state that what is the reason? Because Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu, he was subjected to torture and persecution such that he would be placed in the desert. Yes, face down or his back against the ground many times. And then a huge boulder placed on top of him. His back burning against the heated, the extremely hot and heated, the natural furnace of the ground, the sand of Arabia. His back placed against that, burning his skin. And then on top of him, a boulder being placed. And for him to be instructed to denounce, to leave his religion. And his only means or his only way of reacting, his only reply is to say, Ahad. Ahad, that there is one God, there is one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The scholars state that this is the reason, this is one of the reasons why he was made the first mu'adhin of Islam. He was that mu'adhin stipulated by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, chosen by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself to call out the adhan, to mention Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Yes, that Allah Ta'ala is the greatest, and I testify that there is no God but Allah. Yes, and after Ashadu Anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, and Hayya Ala Salat, calling people to Salat, Hayya Ala Falah, calling people to success, after all of this, then again, La Ilaha Illallah. So beginning with testifying that there is only one God, and ending too in the testification that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is only one, the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was crying out, Ahad, Ahad, and truly he should be given the right to call out that there is only one God, and to call out the Muslims, to be made the mu'adhin, Allahu Akbar, the mu'adhin of Islam, the mu'adhin of the companions. Even later in his life, the people would call out to him and say, Ya Bilal, oh Bilal, could you please call out the adhan again? After the apparent passing away of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and even the grandchildren of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, oh Bilal, call out the adhan, Allahu Akbar. This is Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And we heard about the adhan that Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he had this dream. It's also stated that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu had this dream famously, as well as Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And some of the scholars have stated that 7 or plus individuals, yes, some have stated 7, some have stated 10 plus, and it's also been stated approximately 14 or so people had this dream of the adhan. And this was established amongst the Muslims. This is the established call to prayer, is what? The adhan. And this is something that should never be left. And the question arises, did, because this is a great, no doubt, a great form of worship itself. Just the adhan itself is such a great form of worship. And so, since it's such a great form of worship, the question arises, did the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, did he himself ever perform the adhan? And subhanallah, the scholars are a great blessing upon the ummah. No doubt. What would we have without the scholars? We would have nothing. Subhanallah. And the scholars give us these beautiful answers too for those questions that may arise in one's mind. And they have stated that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he himself performed the adhan. It was whilst they were once traveling. This is when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed the adhan. And this is stated by scholars such as Imam Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, Imam Tirmidhi rahimahullah ta'ala, and mentions this hadith sharif, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so it's been proven once. Wallahu a'lam bis-sawab, Allah ta'ala knows best how many times Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have performed the adhan. But it's stated that he himself, remember, to instruct somebody to do good, yeah, the person himself gains a reward. And those people who listen to the adhan, of course, they also gain the reward. However, did the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself perform the adhan? It's been proven that he had done this once. Wallahu a'lam as to when this had happened, other than this time. Another question which comes with this is, no doubt Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would lead the prayer. But did the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ever pray behind somebody else in congregation? Did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam pray his salah as a muqtadi? And it's explicitly mentioned muqtadiyan. Yes, as a muqtadi, praying behind another person and another person being the imam. Did this ever happen during the life of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Did it ever happen with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself? An interesting question, isn't it? So it's stated, the question is, did he ever perform salah behind somebody else? And it said that yes, during the expedition of Tabuk, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he prayed once, is mentioned, behind Sayyidina Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was amongst the Ashara Mubashara radiallahu anhu. that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had prayed salah behind him. What a great honor this is for Sayyidina Abdurrahman ibn Awf radhiyallahu anhu. It's mentioned another time that Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is while Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was well and healthy. Yes? And we shall speak about when he became weaker later on during his life. However, this was whilst Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was completely well and healthy. Once he prayed behind Sayyidina Abdurrahman ibn Awf radhiyallahu anhu, it's mentioned there was another time where he joined the congregation of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu when Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu was the Imam. So there's a few things here. So this is not that the prayer started with the Noble Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because the companions, they would always remain behind the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this was when the congregation had begun and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had later joined the Muslims. He had later joined the Sahaba Ikram. This is the first point. So the congregation already began and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had then joined. It's stated that this happened once with Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiallahu anhu. But what happened? Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiallahu anhu, he became aware of the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he joined this prayer, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiallahu anhu himself, he moved back. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiallahu anhu himself, he moved back for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to become the Imam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam became the Imam. But then the question arises that why is it that this other great companion, yes, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiallahu anhu is the greatest after the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the greatest of all people. So why is it? Well, he did this, subhanAllah, of course he did this. But why is Sayyidina Abdurrahman ibn Awf, who's also amongst the greatest of people, why is it that Sayyidina Abdurrahman ibn Awf radhiallahu anhu, why did he not move back? And the scholars, they state why, because when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he joined the congregation of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiallahu ta'ala anhu, then he joined during the first raka'ah, yes? And so this would not affect the people's salah if he was to become the Imam and Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq was to come back and the people, they could continue their prayer normally. However, when Sayyidina Abdurrahman ibn Awf radhiallahu anhu, when he was the Imam, then after having, though the reason he didn't move back is because they had already performed a raka'ah. And because they had already performed a raka'ah, and then if the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to join, who needs to perform an extra raka'ah, it may cause some sort of confusion in the prayer. And so the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he remained back and he prayed his salah behind Sayyidina Abdurrahman ibn Awf radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu. So subhanAllah, no doubt this is a great honor for Sayyidina Abdurrahman ibn Awf radhiyallahu anhu, and also a great honor for Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu. However, in other instances, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned explicitly in one narration in Tirmidhi, it states that Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the final prayer, the final salah that he prayed was behind Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Other narrations mention that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whilst he was ill, for three prayers he prayed behind Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And this was the important part. Why? Because Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu, he himself was instructed by Sayyidina Rasulullah. He would instruct, no, tell Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu to pray. Tell him to lead the prayer to show that he was the leader of the Muslims after the apparent demise, after the apparent passing away of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. So this was a little about the adhan, about the prayers of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also it stated that many things changed. And one of those things which changed was prayers. So the prayer itself would initially, as we've spoken previously, the prayer itself would be two rak'at, and then two rak'at, and then two rak'at, and two rak'at, and two rak'at. This was the five daily prayers. Two, 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 two. This is how it used to be. However, the rest of the prayers were actually, in fact, it said, in fact, that the prayers in which people were non-travelers, they were increased. Whereas for the traveler, it remained the same. This is how it is. That the increase for the non-traveler, meaning I'm not a traveler right now, I will pray four Surat al-Dhuhr. So Surat al-Dhuhr was increased to four. Yes? And they were increased by two. So there were two and there was an additional two added. So two became four for Surat al-Dhuhr. For Salat al-Asr, there were two, they became four. For Salat al-Isha, there were two, and they became four. So how about Salat al-Maghrib? It said, وَتُرِكَتْ Salat al-Fajr, one thing is Salat al-Fajr and Salat al-Maghrib, which remain. Salat al-Fajr remain as two raka'at. Why? لِطُولِ الْقِرَاءَ فِيهَا. Due to having long qira'ah in the Fajr Salah. This is the reason which is mentioned by the scholars. So Salat al-Fajr remained as two raka'at. Why? Due to the long qira'at. And as well as this, was Salat al-Maghrib. Why? لِأَنَّهَا وِتْرُ النَّهَارِ. And they mentioned that also Salat al-Maghrib due to it being the witr of the day. And the safar, meaning those prayers which were performed in safar as a person is a traveler, those prayers, they remain as two raka'at. With the exception of Salat al-Maghrib, which is three raka'at, Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam. So as well as this, as we've spoken previously, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he encouraged differentiating or distinguishing between amongst other religions. Why? Because now there were other religions present too. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would do things differently. One other very, very important thing here is, in fact, it teaches us the importance of being a businessman or business in general, the marketplace, the economy. Very, very important. Very, very important for Muslims to be businessmen, to be successful businessmen. It's not our topic, but it's very, very important. And in fact, it's stated that Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, after having making the masjid, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he offered a place. He could say had stipulated a particular place for Muslims to have their own marketplace, where the Muslims would buy, sell, have their markets, their shops, etc., etc., and for the Muslims to also flourish economically, because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he understood the importance of business. My dear viewers of Madinah Channel, my respected Muslim audience who are listening, it is of huge importance that Muslims, because the, you know, it's a famous saying, money makes the world go round. Yes, money buys influence. This is the reality. This is the reality that money buys, it actually does happen, it buys influence. It buys influence, ideas, people, in fact. And so, for Muslims to flourish even more, inshallah, for Muslims to become more and more successful, Muslims need to be businessmen, inshallah. That's all for there, inshallah. Now, the next topic we have, which I shall slightly touch on today, is the chapter of the battles. Yes, the battles of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. So what we must remember is that initially, fighting was prohibited for Muslims. Muslims were not given the instruction to fight. It was, in fact, prohibited to an extent, yes. And the scholars state this explicitly. Until it became permissible. So initially, it was impermissible. And there was a time where, and some have stated what, it was 12 nights or so after the month of Safar, where Muslims were later permitted to engage in combat. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam. Yes, according to Imam Zuhri rahimahullah ta'ala, the first verse, now there's a slight difference, however, even Sayyidah Aisha radhiyallahu anha states, and this is narrated by Imam Zuhri rahimahullah ta'ala, Ibn Shahab al-Zuhri rahimahullah ta'ala, it stated that the first verse of the Quran, which is أُذِنَ لِلَّذِينَ يُقَاتَلُونَ بِأَنَّهُمْ ظُلِمُوا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ نَصْرِهِمْ لَقَدِيرٌ. This verse of the Quran mentions that permission has been granted to those people who are fought against. This is beautiful. This is يُقَاتَلُونَ. those people who are fought against. And why? Because they've been wronged. And no doubt that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more capable upon their nasr, could be help, or it could also be victory. Upon granting them help and granting them victory, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has now allowed and permitted Muslims to what? To defend themselves. Yes, to defend themselves. Why? Because many a time the companions that would come to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they would be beaten, they would be wounded. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would simply reply, what? Adopt patience. Be patient. Because I have not been commanded to fight. I have not been commanded to fight. So initially, and the first is what? First is peace. And be peaceful and try not to fight. And whenever possible, try not to fight. Whereas when it's needed, yes, then of course, we must defend ourselves. And subhanAllah, Islam teaches us etiquettes and manners, how to go into warfare, etc. And you know, there's, of course, there are many, many rulings for when it does come to warfare. That's another thing. However, my dear viewers of the channel, it's stated about the battles of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. This is part of history. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he attended many. Well, then when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam attended them, this expedition that they call a ghazwa. So there's one thing which is known as sariyah. Another thing is known as ghazwa. So this is a slight difference. So sariyah would mean a group which has left. Or it literally refers to, in the Arabic dictionary, it refers to a group which has left the big army. This is generally what's known as sariyah. And in the seerah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sariyah is that which is classed as when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was not there personally within amongst them. Yes. However, he would send this military, this expedition, is also known as ba'atha. Yes, or this contingent, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself would send some sort of detachment for them to go and fight. So then this would be classed as a sariyah. And if he sallallahu alaihi wasallam was to personally participate in the war, then this would be classed as a ghazwa. This would be classed as a ghazwa. And it said the scholars of history state that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he personally participated in about 26, some would say 27, others more or less. And the reason for this disagreement, was he part of 26? Yes. Was the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was he part of 27? You know, it depends as what's classed as a different war. So there's the Wadi Qura and then there's the Khaybar. So Wadi Qura happens straight after Khaybar. So do you consider them as one or are they considered as two? For that it would be 26 or 27. The battle of Hunayn and Ta'if. You know, is Hunayn a separate one? Is Ta'if a separate one? Or, you know, because one happens straight after the other. So is it considered as one altogether? So this is the reason why these difference of opinion. If you're to count each one as separate ones, then some have stated not up until 100. But Allahu subhanahu wa ta'ala a'alam. As to, yes, that's attending the battle. So one thing is attending the battle. In how many battles did he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fight in? And the scholars say that he fought in possibly 9 battles. Wallahu a'alam. In about 9 battles, and one of them, the famous one, the Battle of Uhud, when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa ala alihi wasallam, he himself was hurt. Yes, he himself was wounded. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he himself many times did take part in various battles, and inshallah azza wa jal, in the next coming episode, we shall be covering as much from the life of the noble messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam. Reviews of Madinin channel, this is, you are watching in the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam. Join us next time inshallah to hear more on the biography of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam. That's all for now. See you next time. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam.
Guided by his example, we walk the righteous path. In the footsteps of the Prophet with faith and steadfast. In the footsteps of the Prophet with faith and steadfast.